Siyabingelela nohana siyathokoza kuzingisa Chirwa Kamsana noWandile Mazibuko ehlelweni labo lezomnotho taking care of business. Good evening and welcome to Rise FM in 60 minutes. Ibizo lam game na uMusa wakaSkhosana. In the next hour or so, we'll have a conversation as the past Tuesdays we've been joined by our good friends from the National Treasury, helping us understand or even simplifying the processes of doing business with government. Tonight is no different or is no exception because I'll be joined by Ms. Rakgadi Motseto, who's a Chief Director in Stakeholder and Client Management at the National Treasury. She's going to help us understand those simplified processes of government in allowing suppliers such as yourselves and if you are a student of logistics, you know, get this information. And she is my guest this evening. I invite you to join into the conversation on 072-885-7702. Nomkhala ungas tweet at RiseFM943. That's how you get in touch with us. If you'd like to, I suppose, probe a bit further by simply dialing on 013-757-0096. It's the studio number. You're more than welcome to do so this evening. You're on RiseFM in 60 minutes. Litshonile lange CSL Africa. Lochani. Agwande.
This is Rise FM in 60 minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Minutes just before the hour of 8. And as mentioned, I have my guest with us on the line, Ms. Rakgadi Motseto, the stakeholder and client management chief director there in the National Treasury. You know, our chat is simply the processes of doing business with government, with solemn focus this evening on procurement methods. Ms. Rakgadi, very good evening to you, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Good evening, Musa. Good evening to the people of Mpumalanga. Thank you so much for having us.
Really not far off the north, but yeah, we are in the east.
Boundaries, provincial boundaries.
Yes, yes. But, you know, this very conversation that you and I have been having for the past couple of weeks now, you know, I know you and I were not chatting last week, but you know, I had a glimpse of what the conversation was about. And, you know, following that conversation, we started by just looking into what Treasury is doing, particularly in ensuring that the processes are simplified for service providers. I'd like us to recap, you know, just for those who are now joining us for the very first time into this discussions that you and I will have. You know, the past last 2 weeks, you know, how do they fit into our conversation today? You know, if you were to recap for somebody who hasn't been listening to us for the past couple of, 2 weeks or so, how would you say those conversations, they tie in perfectly with what we're going to, somewhat discuss this evening?
Okay. What our listeners need to take away from these conversations is that they need to understand that in government, nothing happens in isolation. We started with the State of the Nation's address, where we get our marching orders as national departments, our SOEs, as well as provinces, in terms of what is it that we need to be buying, if at all we don't have the required skills within government to deliver what we need to deliver on. For instance, now if you look at the floods, some of the required skills to really fix what has been damaged, we don't have within government. We don't have the capacity to even deliver on rebuilding those roads and those houses. Mm-hmm. So when it comes from the SONA, remember we spoke about the infrastructure. So we have to look at the method of procurements that will be touching and even procuring services like infrastructure. And also last week we spoke about the CSD, where the Central Supplier Database as well as the e-tenders are the two examples of the priorities that emerged from the State of the Nation's address in 2015. And then in 2016, we had the policies in place, we had the system in place, and then we really implemented them, because the priority was that we need to find ways of reducing the cost of doing business for suppliers. And then that's when we came up with the e-tenders, where you find tender documents for free, where you find the advertised tenders for free without having to buy newspapers. And then on the CSD, we're cutting costs of photocopying and traveling to deliver all those administrative documents that are required for suppliers to do business with government. Mm. And then we also touched on the constitutional ruling because the impression that was out there was that the Treasury stopped all procurement, so we put the system on pause, which was not the case. And then we touched on that and explained it, and also reminded our listeners that the 2022 regulations for preferential procurement that were gazetted, they closed last week Monday already on the 11th of April 2022. I think that's how far we have come.
Yeah.
And today, whatever we'll be talking about will be informed by all the events of the past week.
Without a doubt, I mean, it has been an insightful conversation that you and I have had, and even those that you've had last week with my producers, Mkhitha Shongwe. You know, it's quite interesting, you know, how government has put into, I suppose, put in this process is just to ensure a lot of people get part or just become part of, you know, the work that government gets to do. But however, there are some of the voice notes that were unable to be, you know, flighted last week, you know, due to obviously time constraints and, you know, the amount of knowledge that you have. I'd like us to recap even on those voice notes, even, you know, some of the questions that were raised last week, you know, they could be of interest and they could spark some, afterthoughts for some. But, let me just quickly open my WhatsApp line, that is 072-885-7702. Let's recap. If you haven't, thought of a question, maybe this question would somewhat trigger a question for you this evening. Ms. Rakhadi, please stay on the line.
Okay.
I don't know where to start. Sine problem. Nyani go CSD. Enkulu food. One, I'll just need to cover. One. U-CSD ungalungisa zonke into zakho uye kwa-SARS wenze i-tax uthini every year we pay into uSipro sithini xa unto usowufakile kwa-CSD uve ubizwa ngu-social development or ngu-transport department athi u-transport department or no-social development hayi you are not into tax compliance awucomply your thing into ethile yakho ayikho compliance uyayiva into enjalo the second thing if aba bantu abaskemayo bezi department uyafike besithi I'm from the defense nto can you quote for 100 people, and there's also transport. Which one are you in? The city getting like we are doing catering. At okay, I'll send you specification. Bas to Merel. You go the next thing, ubone kwi bank account yako. There's 50,000. Gelo klasha ugo 30,000. There's 50,000 into your bank. Kausit uve so phone la ngumuntu. Can you pay back that 20,000 deficit? The person who was doing procurement ubhatale imali wrong. Bakubhatala before you work, but hi, it's their policy. Then, like mna ke, I'm brilliant. Ndiyabona umuntu xa sike nayo. You can see if umuntu ubhatele yaklerisheka on your bank. If ayiklerishekanga, uzoyibuyisela njani 20,000, which means uyakufroja ufuna wena ubhatale ibe worse athi go and pay it ku maybe a ShopRite or akunike account number. Luckily for me ndiqale ndibuze kweyiphi ibhank FNB ndinayo umntu osebenza phaa ndibuze le account number kabantu xa bethu uyakutshekha yeyomntana omncinci maybe from Johannesburg or from Durban yeyomntana which is iakhawunti esanduvula which is baskema abantu. Asiko safe ngalo CSD. Serious, we are not safe at all. And kho, awu comply njani ukubulungisa into zakho uzifit. There's something wrong ngalo CSD.
Yeah, the quest there, SS Rakhadi, is just mainly around, you know, the CSD. They're saying that there's, you know, something wrong with CSD. I mean, you can tell the listener is just, you know, lamenting on the fact that, you know, there's quite a number of scams that occurs in relation to how CSD is wired. Maybe from the National Treasurer's perspective, how then do you account to such, you know, assertions made by people? And, you know, these are lived experiences, I suppose.
You know, this is what I said last week. And it's very funny because one of our DDGs within the Treasury sent me an email and said, Rakhadi, I received a request for quotation. They asked me to quote, and I'm not even a supplier. I'm not even in the CSD, right? The issue is, if what I said is that if you go anywhere and you leave your information there, people can do anything with that information, even after a long time when you have forgotten where you have left such information. And the fact that suppliers tend to attend these private, I'll say private engagement where they are networking, and they leave their emails, they leave their company names, they leave the sectors that they are trading in and the commodities that they distribute or even manufacture. And then later on, they don't even follow up what happens to that information. There are no disclaimers when they put that information on that book. If somebody takes a photo of that page, they can do anything with that information. The fact that we attend sessions as well wherever we go and we leave our emails there, and years down the line, you get a request for quotation that you need to quote for this particular commodity. And the other thing that I said to them, and I'll just have to look at this email again, is that we said to them, as government, we don't tell you firstly where you should buy, where you're supposed to go and source what we are looking for. Secondly, we don't give you a picture, because the email that I'm looking at from one of the DDGs, it has a photo. We don't give you a photo of what we want you to deliver to us. You should know what that commodity is and what it looks like. And also, they look at those very, very complex and high-value commodities, because this one that I'm looking at now, they're asking for a respirator nanotech mask, 35,000 of them, right? And then also, they provide a photo of that particular item that they are looking for. And then they even put the budget as to, this is the budget that we have for this particular transaction. And that's not what we do. If you are a supplier and you're supposed to be dealing with this nano whatever tech mask, but I don't even know what they look like, you should know what they look like. You should know where to source them. You should even know the pricing thereof and the packaging thereof. You don't have, we don't have to tell you where to find this, what they should look like, whether you should go to this particular supplier. We don't even tell you the brand that you're looking for. And that's what we said, because once information is in somebody else's hands, then you will continue to have such problems, and we have had them as well as employees of the state. It's not something that is coming from the CSD, because within the CSD we've put measures to make sure that every employee or official who goes into your profile, there is this audit trail where we can see what action was performed on your profile. Did they change anything? Did they amend anything? Did they print your profile? So we have those safety measures on our side, but suppliers as well need to be very, very protective of their own information going forward.
Okay, let me just try and exhaust this last week reaction on the conversation that was held. Here's a voice note of last week as well.
How is it that tenders are being given to companies that are not qualified and being rewon by companies that do not even do their job in the first place, but they keep getting the tenders again and again and again? So how does that work?
Yeah, this one seems to want to express the point of, you know, how is it that companies that do not qualify get to be re-awarded tenders, and also why is it then that companies that have been awarded before seems to be also the ones that keeps on, I suppose, getting this type of jobs. But also, let me just pose this, from our last week bundle. It came through on our SMS line. It says, is it not an audit query to cancel a tender? If the answer is yes, what are the financial implications?
And can you just repeat it again? Is it not the audit query when what happened?
To cancel a tender?
No.
Okay. So,
you can cancel a tender for particular reasons. So for now, let's say we have the floods in different provinces, and you advertise a tender, let's say to construct a particular service or building somewhere, and then there are these floods in that particular area, is no longer feasible for you to go and build on it. So you have to cancel that tender because you can't implement it within this financial year and possibly the next financial year. And also, if at all you have, you end up moving money from that line item to another line item to respond to this national emergency in different provinces, you can cancel that particular tender. And the last one, the third one, is that if you get the specifications wrong and you realize that it will be difficult, especially if you had a briefing session and the questions that are posed by the suppliers, you realize that it's going to be very, very difficult for you to evaluate that particular tender in a fair manner, then you can cancel that tender and reissue it with a new specification. So it's not an audit. It becomes an audit if the auditors find something wrong with the way you have done the cancellation and whether it was valid for you to cancel that tender or not.
Maybe please also deal with the other one that seeks to say that, you know, the rewarding of tenders and if companies do not even meet the criteria.
Pardon?
I'd like you to also maybe weigh in on the other voice note I played of, you know, how do then companies get awarded if they don't meet the criteria?
There is the thing is, when we talk to the different methods of procurement, you will realize that criteria does apply in most of the processes. But the thing is, how do you know that they don't meet the criteria if you are not evaluating their tender? Mm. We cannot make an assumption that your business doesn't meet the criteria because we know you from somewhere else and we think you are not competent in what you were awarded to do. We just have to look at your deliverables. If at all you don't deliver, then you can go back and say you appointed somebody who's incompetent to deliver this. But in terms of evaluation, if you meet the criteria and then it goes to next week when we talk about the three committees for bid the bid committees,
sure,
you will understand that it's the evaluation and then it goes to another committee that has to check whether the criteria was used the way it's supposed to be used. So it's a little bit difficult to say somebody doesn't meet the criteria when you are not running the business with them or you don't even know how their business is. For instance, I'm on Rise FM. I wouldn't be here if your CSP report wasn't compliant. I wouldn't be here.
Well, I'm glad our papers are in order, hence you're here. You're on Rise FM in 60 minutes. It has just gone 9 minutes before 8. This is Rise FM. Umkhatcho Chisaphe Pumalanga Yokana. My guest is the Chief Director of the National Treasury, Ms. Rakgadi Motseto, on simplifying processes of doing business with government. She's my guest this evening. We're looking at those processes, and particularly tonight, we have a solemn focus on the procurement methods. Now, Mr. Rakgadi, I'd like us maybe to start our conversation, particularly tonight's conversation, with just looking at the implications of what you've said last week of the Constitutional Court ruling. What is the, you know, somewhat the implications of that court ruling, particularly on procurement processes for advancing women and black people?
The Constitution will still prevail because we're taking our guidance from the Constitution itself as the higher law of the country. Even if the institutions are exempted from the Preferential Procurement Act of 2000, we still have to comply with the Constitution in terms of Section 217, Section 2, Subsection A and B, where it describes that we should advance categories of people who are unfairly discriminated against on the basis of race, gender, and disability. In this instance, we're talking about the companies or businesses that are owned by those categories of business, meaning that even if we don't have, we are exempted from the preferential procurement, we still have to comply with the prescripts of the Constitution because we didn't just have the Preferential Procurement Act standing alone. It is informed by the Constitution itself as the high law of the country. Mm. So all the institutions, despite being exempted, they still have to make sure their policies reflect this advancement of categories of people as prescribed in the Constitution.
But then why should suppliers know about the different methods of procurement if they are not working for government?
To know that we have a criteria to evaluate people,
yeah.
They shouldn't look at you and think, Susana, doesn't meet the requirements because they don't know what your business standing is, your compliance standing, and your competencies are. So with outlining this method, they need to understand, and also it will deal with the scams as well, that these are the things that you need to know. For instance, the different thresholds that we apply when we use different methods of procurement. Mm-hmm. And also listening to the questions that we had over the 2 weeks, that one supplier is appointed repeatedly, the outlining of this method can clarify how do we go about it, why do we do it that way, because we have to advance transparency as a requirement and prescribed in the Constitution, because the Constitution says we need to be fair, we need to be transparent, and we need to make sure that we open the competition to everybody. And we cannot have suppliers saying, Skosana is getting all the tenders, but they don't apply for those tenders, and also they don't know how to really interact with those different methods. And again, what do they mean for them? Where do they find the information as well? How do they go to? Because the different methods of procurement, if they're going to be competitive, they will find them outlined in the procurement plans. It's not going to be a secret that there's going to be a tender. Anybody can submit their proposals for that tender. So that is why we're doing it, so that we don't have this thing of pointing fingers if somebody is doing well in terms of participating in the procurement process.
On Rise FM in 60 minutes, it's an open line throughout the course of our conversation. I'm having with Ms. Rakgadi Motseto, the stakeholder in client management, chief director in the National Treasury. She is my guest this evening, and you're more than welcome to also, you know, weigh in with the solemn focus on procurement methods as we are dissecting this very topic this evening. I invite you to do so on 072-885-7702, Namukhana on 013-757-0096. You know, in terms of procurement of goods or services, is there even a different approach in the manner in which these two are procured?
We make the decisions on the choices of our method of procurement are informed by the thresholds, meaning the value or rent of that particular commodity that we want to buy. And then also we look at the complexity, how complex that service or commodity is that we wish to procure, and also how many service providers do we have that can give us what we need. Also, we cannot procure infrastructure the same way we procure batteries or cutlery that we need for the office. We need to weigh the risk as well, and also balance in terms of the requirements of the principles of the Constitution, that we need to make sure it's fair for everybody. We need to make sure it's accessible, but also we need to balance it with the time that it will take us to really go through the process until such a time we can award. So there are so many elements that will influence how we go about it. And those are the things that suppliers might not even know about. Because now, if we have a national disaster, it didn't make sense for us to go and advertise a tender for medical equipment that is required to treat people who are in distress. We have to choose a suiting method of procurement to make sure that we get what we need as speedily as we can to deal with the issues of health that we can pick up under that circumstances.
On Rise FM in 60 minutes, I'd like us to take this short breather. When we return, we'd also take your reaction. Number to dial 072-885-7702. Umkhatjo Chisape, Pumalanga Yokana, Rise FM.
You're listening to Rise FM.
Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Rise FM in 60 minutes with Musa Skosana.
your station of choice, Rise FM, in 60 minutes is the name of the show. My name is Alphas Musa Skosana. I'm with you up until 8:30. You're more than welcome to weigh in on any conversation, or particularly weigh in on any pointer that we're having around our topic this evening, you know, the procurement methods. And particularly this evening, I have the National Treasury, the Chief Director on Stakeholder Inclined Management. She's helping us understand, you know, the simplified ways of doing business with government. And before I bring her in, you know, let's just pay the bills. And then after that, we'll just definitely return with her.
Tying the opinions into a single narrative. Rise FM in 60 minutes with Musa Skosana.
Ms. Rakgadi Motsetho, the Chief Director on Stakeholder and Client Management at the National Treasury, is my guest this evening. You're more than welcome to probe her on 072-885-7702. That's just gone a minute after 8. In case you just joined us, this is Rise FM. Ms. Rakgadi, out of all, you know, the choices and the processes that government has introduced, particularly the National Treasury, what really informed the choice and the decision to apply any of the methods of procurement?
Like I said, you have to consider a lot of things, how risky the commodity is, what is the value of that commodity or service that you want to procure, how many suppliers do you have in the industry or the market that are going to respond to that particular RFQ or RFP that you're going to advertise, and also look at the timeline, how quick the turnaround time should be. Like I said, under a disaster a process or setting or environment, you cannot advertise a tender for 21 days. Yes, you can look at the weather patterns and realize that it's still going to rain some more, so we are not going to start building anytime soon. So we still have time to advertise a tender for those who are going to rebuild those houses that were lost, rebuild those roads that have been damaged. So you have to weigh those particular elements for you to determine what will be the best approach or the best method of procurement that you can use for any service or commodity that you want to buy.
There are a couple of voice notes that have come on, and I'd like maybe to just confer them to you and maybe get your reaction on them, right?
Okay.
Good evening, Musa. My question is, what is the role of a treasury in terms of, you know, trying to mitigate the risk of AMA suppliers becoming susceptible to fake RFQs from AMA perpetrators who find the information on the CSD?
Ms. Rakgadi, I'm not sure if you have heard that.
Yeah, it's a bit distorted. You can just tell me what she said.
Okay, so she's basically asking your role as the National Treasury in trying to somewhat mitigate the risks of, you know, service providers becoming susceptible to the perpetrators who are somewhat getting their information on the CSD.
Mm-hmm. Firstly, with the CSD, we have introduced, remember, we have the POPI Act now that is in force.
Yeah.
So we have to comply with it. We collected the information specifically for government to transact with them. So we can't use it for anything else that is not related to procurement. So in that way, we will only engage the suppliers with anything that is procurement related only. That is the POPI Act part of it. And the second one is we are doing this campaign for them to realize this is how we procure our services. If you come across anything that is unfamiliar or, you know, different from how we said we do business, then you need to be mindful of how you're going to respond to it. And also, the suppliers also they have a responsibility to protect their information. If you're going to register a lot of commodities on the CSD and you forget that this is what I registered for because you were not selected. You felt like the more I register, the more opportunities are going to come my way. Then you can fall back on the fact that this this is what we don't do as government. We don't give you photos. We don't give you the budget. We don't prescribe the brand that we want if we want to procure. So it needs to be, we will do our part, but they still have a responsibility as well as to how they exchange their information with other parties outside government as well, because we won't be able to control that outside government. And also they need to know which departments or institutions within government will procure what they are servicing or what they are selling as commodities or services. Mm.
Do you have a wish of doing business with government, the chief director on stakeholder and client management at the National Treasury? Ms. Rakgadi Motsetho is my guest this evening. You're more than welcome to probe and confer any question or mhlambe a compliment that you'd like to confer to her. You're more than welcome to do so. The number to dial, it is 072-885-7702. Here's another one.
Good evening, Raisa FM. I would just like to know, how does Treasury make sure that in awarding of these contracts, they don't award to the same companies?
I'm sure you've heard that one, right?
What about the companies?
So they're asking your role again in ensuring that, you know, we don't very see the same company over and over and over again in various departments being awarded, the work there.
Again, if you look at the Constitution, everybody has a right to do business wherever they want to do business. If they want to, if they're doing a good job, they will go and submit a tender elsewhere. And we cannot, as the Treasury say, you have received enough tenders, you can't compete again. You know, the Constitution said it needs to be competitive. If at all the supplier feels I'm going to compete over and over again because I'm good at what I do, we cannot say to the supplier, you cannot submit this, give others a chance. If the others don't submit, then we are left with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe let me try and confer this one to you again. It seems like tonight you're having a lot of reaction around what you are saying, but let me just play this one.
Umbuzo wa mnane is, why does it take so long to get EPO numbers or purchase order, right? Yeah. Why it takes so long? Because obviously, I mean, the job is already issued. Okanye imali, I budget, I corner. So why the long process or why the wait?
Yeah, this one is mainly around the purchase order. Why does it take so long to get a purchase order if a company is then awarded the job?
I wouldn't know, really. I wouldn't know why those institutions are taking too long to issue purchase orders. Maybe there are internal processes to verify, because within the Treasury, what we need to do before you even issue a purchase order, as a budget manager, I have to submit what we call a budget report, it's called a BAS report, to indicate that I have money within this line item that I can procure from, so that when the supplier has rendered the service, I'll be able to pay them from that line item. So I'm not sure with other institutions, what verifications do they do that take so long. But within the Treasury is that the quotations will come to me as the budget manager, already evaluated, and they will tell them, look, this is the price for this one, this is the BE score, and this is the final score, this is who we recommend, right? And then I will have to sign off, if at all, what they are going to give me is what I want. Then I will sign off, it will go. I will have to attach that budget report to say that I do have the money under that line item, so that when the supplier delivers and submits the invoice, I'll be able to sign off on the invoice, and then it will go to finance to be paid. So I'm not sure why it takes long in other institutions. I guess if it's not that urgent, maybe that is why they take long. But in our case, we have within our policies those timelines that if we give you the quotations and then we have evaluated them, you need to give us feedback within a day or two. If the invoices come through, you must sign it off and send it back to finance within the specified days. So I'm not sure why other institutions, maybe within their policies, those areas are not really outlined properly, which would be an audit issue. But in our case, we try and make the process and the turnaround times as possible.
10 minutes after 8, you're on Rise FM in 60 minutes. I see an SMS there on on 33943. It says, it is a must. Is it a must for the tender box to be opened in the presence of all potential service providers? This is from Mafa in Betal.
Yes, sir. If you want to be present when the tender box is opened, you can be present.
Mm.
You can demand that to be present just to make sure that all the suppliers that have submitted when the box was opened are recorded, and you know who have met the deadline so that the latecomers are not included in the list.
Still taking your voice note, 072-885-7702. Sister Rahari, you know, I'd like us to maybe zone in into some of the methods. You know, I'll start maybe with deviations, right? I'm asking deviation simply because we're still recovering from COVID. However, we've seen businesses operate. Talk us through the process that you have managed, you know, to implore, particularly to operate in that period of COVID. Did you then deviate, or did you implore a system to proper address, you know, the era we were in?
Okay, a deviation is a method that is there, available for organs of state to use. What it simply means, instead of following the normal process, for instance, if I leave Pretoria to Mpumalanga, I'll take the N4. And if I feel I don't want to pay the toll gate, I'll find another way of getting to Mpumalanga, but I'll still end up there.
Yeah.
So it will be a long way, though, but within the deviations, we say you can apply deviations. And once you have done that, you still have to report that deviation to the Auditor General as well, meaning that if at all you have one supplier that can give you what you want, you can deviate, but you need to get those proper approvals within the institutions from the accounting officer, meaning that the policies of that institution should indicate how do you go about adopting deviation as a method, meaning that it is only this particular company or manufacturer that can give you this thing, then it's a deviation because you are no longer going to advertise for 21 days, evaluate and do all this kind of thing. The second one is it's still a deviation because there's a continuation process. You have somebody investigating a particular case in the institution. Then you have gone, let's say you have gone through an open competitive bid to appoint those people, or you used a panel of service providers that I will talk to just now. But because that report has come through, and then you charge a person, the person who was investigating that company has to come and give evidence. So you can't go and appoint somebody else to give evidence on the report that they didn't investigate. So in terms of deviation, you can apply for deviation and procure those services to continue that process and then complete it. Mm-hmm. The other one is in the terms of emergency, like now, if you need to feed people who are sitting in a shelter somewhere and they need medical care, you cannot advertise for 21 days. But you still have to get those necessary approvals to say, look, it's an emergency. People's lives are at risk. This is what we are going to do. We can only comply with certain principles of the Constitution. We are going to make sure that all the suppliers who can give us, let's say, blankets or clothes, are going to be approached and say, look, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for blankets of this size and this make. And then you send it to all the suppliers around that area that can give you that, and you give them, you know, a fair amount of time for them to respond as well.
Mm.
So it is allowable, but it shouldn't be abused where you feel, I don't want to go through a normal competitive process. This is what I will do. I'll just deviate. It still needs proper approvals within the institution. It needs to be recorded and reported to the Auditor General as well, so that once the audit comes, they can come and audit that process to make sure that you just didn't opt for deviation because you were late to advertise the tender.
You know, there's this term that I've heard, you know, service provider says, I know I got this one from a closed bidding. You know, kindly maybe talk us through there that what then becomes the difference between the close bidding or a limited bidding, or is it the same thing? But also talk us through there.
Okay, a close bidding is you know how many suppliers are in that industry. At first, in the past, we used to, when you supply cooking gas in the houses, I think I know four. You have Afox, I think EasyGas and KDEC, if I'm not sure. So if you know who that industry, you don't have a lot of role players. Like now, the Mpumalanga government has appointed, I think, ABSA as their banking services. What they will do, because we don't have a lot of banks in the country, what they will do, they will have those specifications and then send it to all the banks to respond, because they have to be registered with the banking sector. So they will just check with the banking sector, how many banks do we have that can deal with, we call them commercial banks. How many commercial banks do we have that we can appoint to do our banking? Then they will give them all the list of commercial banks, and then they have an option of sending the specifications to only those commercial banks without advertising. But some institutions, what they will do, they will still advertise just to make sure there is transparency in their processes of procurement. So when it's close bidding, we know how many suppliers we have in that industry. Then we approach only those. Same with the cell phone service providers. We don't have a lot of them. We just have to go to ICASA and check, okay, these are the ones who can provide a full service for government. Then we send the specifications to them in a closed bidding kind of process, but it still has to be evaluated as well and go through an adjudication process. And then once the award is made, it will have to be made public that we have appointed this particular supplier. Mm-hmm. So you have to know how many suppliers are there in that particular industry for you to opt for closed bidding or limited bidding.
Okay. So I believe also we have maybe a reaction on price, but before we get, to you expanding on the price quotation, let's maybe listen through into this voice note, and then maybe we'll just bind it together as you respond on the price quotation.
Okay.
Good evening, Lapo Studio. I'm Sagati. Nembuto lo khona la umbuto wami lo khona la uthi ingabe like my cheapest suppliers mhlambe le kathola your contract or something like that ingabe they mean ukuthi manje labani labo bayawathi umsebenzi wabo or umsebenzi wabo singena ubona phambilini nabese seniyabanika or just nibanika umsebenzi ukuthi bantu nje le kufuna ukuthi nabo bathole that particular portion ye tender or something like that. So ilapho-ke ke question yami ukuthi ngabe mhlambe the cheapest suppliers simply means they can do their job kuloko lenibaniketa kona.
8:17. Good evening. You're on Rise FM in 60 minutes. My guest is Ms. Rakgadi Motsetho, the Chief Director on Stakeholder and Client Management at the National Treasury. Ms. Rakgadi, the question there simply, maybe part of it is, it says, does the cheapest supplier simply mean that they can do the job?
There should be a criteria, like I said, to really evaluate the suppliers, because when you ask everybody, let's say you want somebody to deliver chairs in your house, you're going to tell them these are the chairs that I'm looking for, this is the number, and this is the timeline, these are the timelines that I need these chairs manufactured and delivered. So you have that criteria within which you're going to assess whether they can do the work or not, and also if there are additional requirements within that sector that they need and to meet. I know there's a manufacturing sector. I'm not sure if they have to be registered with that sector. You can ask for that certification, because they have a way within that sector or that regulatory body to assess whether the supplier is competent or not. For instance, within the infrastructure side, you have the CIDB that will tell you this is the supply is on level 8, is on level 6, then you can determine their competencies based on that. And also they give you references of the work that they have done before. You don't only fall for price, but with the method of other methods of procurement, you can use the price as a determining factor because a commodity is not that complex and it doesn't carry a high risk as compared to other things like your gas that you need for theater, where you have to put people to sleep and hope they come back, because if they don't have the certificate, you might end up buying the wrong gas for the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So criteria and will be different as well as the requirements.
Mm. Okay, I've had maybe just a brief listen at this one while you were talking, but maybe let me just confer it to you.
Okay.
Sanbonani lapha esitudio serise ngisiza ke lehlamini lo. Mina ngifuna ukwazi ne ngiloku. Masinab ngitha via email. Aba print ma documents age for evaluation. So mina ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi i treasury iyendani, because lento le is losing some savings. Ngiyabonga.
I'm not sure if
I couldn't get it properly.
Okay, so let me just maybe try and paraphrase it. She's alluding to the fact that when she submits on email, they don't get to print their document for evaluation. So then somewhat the intervention of the National Treasury in such instances, what then becomes of the steps that you take?
But how do you know they didn't print? That is the question.
Yeah.
Yeah, how do you know that they didn't print stuff? Because how do you know that? That would be my question.
Yeah.
The second one would be on email, you have functionality.
Sure.
Where you can track your email, whether it was delivered and opened.
Mm.
And in that case, if you see that it was delivered and not opened, then you have a case to go and ask, but I submitted an email on time. Why didn't you even open it and consider it? Because when you open it, it will give you feedback whether the person on the other side speaks, whether don't give feedback or something. So those functionalities on email are there for suppliers to use to protect themselves as well.
I suppose then the follow-up question to that would be then, is there even a process of somewhat trying to ascertain the number of those who have reacted maybe to an RFQ, and then try and ensure that all of them were then considered in the process of evaluation?
The thing is, I think it will happen probably during an audit process, because if they audit that process, as an official, you need to indicate these are the suppliers that I sent information to, right? And then the policies are saying you need to have three comparable quotations. So if you send to 10 and you only receive two, you have to get approvals to continue with the two. Otherwise, you have to go back and ask for more so that you can compare at least a minimum of three. And when the auditors are coming, they would want to have those emails to support the statements that you are making, so that they can see that, look, we have sent to these suppliers. They didn't respond, or they have responded. So it's upon an official to really make sure that their processes are as fair as possible and they do comply with their internal policies as well as those that are issued by the Treasury.
Mm. 22 after 8, we're still taking your reaction. The number to dial, it is 072-885-7702. Let's try and get to our WhatsApp line.
Good evening, Skosana and your guest. I've got two issues maybe that I would like to request or ask Urahadi. One is, tenderpreneurs, guys, is hard work. We are filling documents, and hence our other document, our FUNAYO, actually CSD. Why can't they draw the documents that they need with CSD? And on awarding of any tender, then they request you to give the required document they specifically need for the job, like your method statement and the quality plans and so forth, and your safety, instead of backtracking the document before you even on the tendering statement, let me put it that way, and we don't know what the job was at all, or we never find, never get it. So it's really frustrating. So basically, I want Treasury to rethink of this thing thoroughly, which they can maybe automate the whole process, unlike what is called summer document, this what to mail, that costs us arm and a leg at the end of the day. Thank you.
Yeah, Sister Rahari, you know, that voice note is actually a plea to say, isn't there a way that Treasury could maybe somewhat rework the existing framework, particularly where institutions of government continually request documents that are available on the CSD? Mm-hmm. So he's lamenting the fact that this is a tedious process, and is also bearing costs to entrepreneurs, but he calls them tenderpreneurs.
No, but I don't understand why an official of government would ask for the information that's captured on the CSD. Yes, I would understand, like I said last week, that because of certain institutions, their systems for payment are not linked to the CSD, they would ask for that letter from the bank so that they can load you on the CSD.
Mm.
Because those are two separate processes.
Sure.
We have supply chain. Once we receive what we procured, then the payment will fall on the finance side. So finance will ask for that banking account, so that that banking letter, so that they load you on the payment system. But it is very, very wrong for an official of government sitting in procurement to still ask suppliers to go and provide information that is on the CSD, when since 2015 we were told that we need to make sure that we reduce the costs that are carried by suppliers for mainly doing business with government. That is why we introduced the CSD as an intender.
Mm.
Then that person has a problem, and the accounting officer needs to really address it, because the CSD is made free for suppliers for that particular reason.
Mm.
And even institutions, they don't pay for that CSD. It's a free service. So I wouldn't understand why an official will ask for information just to keep it on paperwork.
Yeah.
Because it carries a huge amount of risk. Firstly, you are not going to get your tax certificate from SARS.
Yes.
Because it's a tax data thing. By the time they award that certificate or that tax data report has lapsed already.
Mm.
So you're opening up government to a huge amount of risk, because you might award your supplier that is no longer compliant.
Mm. Maybe on the tail end of that, I mean, if service providers and those, you know, hoping to, you know, somewhat do work with government, if they find themselves in such situations, is there even a platform where they could cry foul?
Pardon?
Is there a platform or a place where they could go and say, this and this is still happening, irregardless of the systems that are in place?
Every institution has a hotline where these particular issues can be reported, or an email where they can just send it through to the accounting officer, or they call the chief information officer to really go and look within the institution as to why are you still asking suppliers to supply this particular information where it's available on the CSD. Again, I know suppliers will say, no, they're going to restrict you. We don't restrict you for just raising an issue. And also, you don't have to transact with that institution. There are other institutions that you can transact with, I think, 2,500 or more that you can transact with.
Yes, yes.
So, you don't have to be married to somebody who abuses you frequently, and you're afraid to raise this issue, because if you raise it, you might be helping other suppliers that might come after you.
Mm.
So don't be married to one institution, because the reason why we have the CSD is to make sure that you can transact with whatever institution that you want to transact.
I know there's quite a number of procurement methods, but I'd like us to maybe, you know, wrap up our conversation with these tools, you know, the RFQs, and as well as the panel of service providers, the one you started with, but you said you're going to touch on it.
Okay, let me just deal with the panel of service providers, and then we can carry over this other one for next week.
Yeah.
I don't think that is complicated, because the panel of service providers is we advertise a tender because we use that particular service. either frequently or you know, in staggered ways. Services like your legal services, and also if you are in the transport industry where you have to send your suppliers for medical testing. So you can advertise a tender to appoint those suppliers for those services, and you evaluate them on the issues of competency. But because when you send the supplier, let's say you send a driver for a medical test, they might need maybe an eye test or BMI test. So that particular specification will be different. Then you send it to all of them, then they give you the price, and then you get and evaluate them on the price. Mm. So you put them on the panel. They're not appointed. They're not awarded. They're just put on the panel based on their competency and the fact that they meet the requirements.
Mm.
But when you have a specification that might change, for instance, in the legal space, maybe you're going through litigation or you want somebody to review a big, a huge contract, then you send that specification to all of them. You evaluate them on their proposal and the price, and then you can select from those using your bid specification committee.
Mm. Yeah, no, that one is very clear. And RFQs, Vila, are we not going to touch them tonight?
Let's do the RFQs because they touch on the scams, they touch on everything, but
yeah.
The easiest one is the price for patients, which is anything below 2,000.
Yeah.
You use your petty cash to buy the batteries. If you have a calculator and the batteries die, or you go to the first aid box, the Panados are finished, you take you take petty cash, you go and buy Panados, you refill,
yeah.
You give the receipts back to finance. So let's just deal with the RFQs properly next week with the rest of the other methods of procurement, as well as the bid committees next week.
Yeah.
So that we can spend time as well on it.
Yeah, because I'm very interested to know what sort of role that the bid committees then tends to play, particularly in the awarding of tenders.
A very big role.
Okay, so that's definitely a conversation that we'll have next week. And on that front, then I have to thank you for having availed yourself and just bringing this insightful information. And thank to those who have weighed in on the conversations and probed you for any of, you know, some of the things that you have said. And I want to thank you for frankly responding to some of the quests and, you know, the cries that the people on Mpumalanga have had this evening. We wish you nothing but great success and a very warm good evening. And keep safe till we meet again.
How do you say it in the belly? How do you say it when you say goodbye?
it depends. But salekuhle, from us, we just wish you esengathi uzima gakhlokomela nohana kutubaza.
Okay. Let me just say,
That was the Chief Director, the National Treasury, Ms. Rakgadi Motsepe, talking to us here on Rise FM in 60 Minutes around simplifying the processes of doing business with the government. I trust you've enjoyed that part of the conversation, and we invite you to do join us again when we look into some other topics that particularly might be of interest to you if you are a tenderpreneur or you are hopeful and just aspiring to do business with government, particularly on the national front. You cannot restrict yourself to Mpumalanga. You need to just try and, broaden your scope. But from us here on Rise FM in 60 minutes, yabawage, wawuzimwa ntlokomele, nohana ntutubaze, nibe nobusuku, obujame kuhle. From us, it's a good night.